Hello.
And welcome to Lopes on Movies. My name is Joey Lopes, and today I am joined by Kyle.
Yo!
And Connor.
Good morning.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Great. Great. Yeah, I need to go great. First. Yeah, I just binged all of Primal.
Oh, wow. Wait, the entire show?
I'm not even kidding. I just binged, like, the entire show in, like, like a day.
That's a lot of show.
Yeah, so I just I did back to back to back basically episode like 4 to 10 and woo.
That's got to be a an emotional.
Oh my goodness, it's something.
Yikes! Well, how about you, Kyle?
I did not do that, but I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear it.
Thank
I mean,
you.
we're here to, you know, do what we do best, talk about movies. Actually, we're not going to talk about any movies today, I don't think. Unless you guys have, like, seen any new movies lately. I'm going to guess that's a no.
Well, I mean, I wanted to go see the new Spirit horse movie, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on, like, Fandango or whatever, like, looking at what new movies were out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's bad 3D animated movie about a horse. I don't know.
I remember there being, an old bad horse movie called Spirit or something.
Oh, really?
Like that.
So this is like,
yes,
a reboot.
No, no,
of that.
There's a horse movie out right now that I actually think is not that bad. It's got some big names in it too. It's like a racehorse kind of thing.
War Horse?
No.
War Horse was not bad though.
War Horse is a good movie.
War Horse not bad?
I gotta tell you, surprisingly, there are at least 5 good horse movies. Like, specifically horse movies.
All right, you can't bring that up without saying what they are, so now I'm going to put you on the spot. What are the 5
well,
good
I mean,
horse
obviously,
movies?
War Horse.
The classic of the horse genre.
A great film.
Seabiscuit.
Is that really a good movie?
I mean,
it's got Tobey Maguire in it.
It's a good horse movie. I mean, come on.
Okay, sure.
There's another horse movie. That I'm stumbling on. Well, the one in theaters right now, it looks good. It's got the guy from Billions. It's got doesn't have him in it.
Paul Giamatti.
No, what no, the it? Other guy from Billions.
Damian
Paul Giamatti
Lewis?
Wouldn't be caught dead in that movie.
No, there's more horse movies, and the one the animated one that Kyle's talking about, of course.
So we're already there. You couldn't even get to 5 without talking about the terrible animated horse movie.
Well,
Kyle's
I mean, you put me
about.
Right in the spot. And then, I mean, considering if you consider a TV show or a TV show's movies now, you know, I know we're blurring lines, but there was the HBO series Luck, which is about horse racing and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That only got like 1 season, right? Because there was a whole controversy about how they were treating the horses or something like that.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, I think the horses, bad fate was happening to the horses that were in the series. Not sure exactly the details. Oh, I thought of another one. There's another movie. I guess it's not maybe it's not a horse movie, but there's a lot of horses in it, so I think it qualifies. I think it's called Hidalgo. Remember that one?
I remember the name. I can't.
That sounds familiar.
It was like right after. It was like right after Lord of the Rings was big, and then they were like. The lead in Lord of the Rings, the guy who played Aragorn, his name is
Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen, yes, like that was his first thing, like right after the Lord of the Rings.
Okay, now yeah, I'm remembering that now. Although for some reason I was confusing it in my head with the Alamo, which
no.
I also think that Viggo Mortensen was.
One of some weird, like I was thinking that the title was the Alamo, like before I
well,
said
there was
Hidalgo,
an Alamo.
Which is correct.
There, yeah, no, there right. was an Alamo movie.
Oh
with
no, I know.
Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How could we not remember the Alamo?
Well, we did. We didn't forget.
Oh
actually.
Man, I'm
You're
out of here,
fire.
Guys. That's the best I can do tonight.
We are on fire today, guys. This is a crazy episode. We've already been talking for 5 minutes and have said nothing of value.
We got to fill time tonight.
All those great horse movies.
All right. How about we start with a little bit of news? The only really like relevant news, at least for people in this area, is that I think the Regal Cinemas are open again. Which
hey!
Is surprising. Like Regal was closed for like way longer than every other theater, but yeah, like I think at that point, like that's the only like holdout major chain that was closed indefinitely because of the pandemic. So yeah, I mean, it's not exactly back to normal. You know, we still got, you know, kind of like limited seating and everything, but you know, the theaters are open, everybody. The movies are back. So
it's a shame there's nothing to watch.
Yeah, you can go and see The Conjuring 3 or whatever.
There's a lot of horror movies out right now in early June for some reason.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're all the horror movies they would have released in, you know, October of 2020, but couldn't. So now they're just like dumping them. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, whatever works.
Yeah, I'll tell you, around here, Regal, like, I've been getting the notifications. They're doing like half off, like everything. They're just really trying to get people back in. So I don't know if that's the same around you guys, but I know Regal is trying to ramp that up. Because it's actually interesting. Regal didn't get like the bump in like the crazy meme stock like thing that AMC did. Regal didn't really do well. Out of it, like, no one was buying meme stocks of like Regal, whatever their like company is that they like roll under.
Huh,
you know,
that's interesting.
But AMC did, you know, like their stock went crazy, and they were able to, you know, now they have resources to pivot and kind of change like their business model maybe because of the meme stock craze that just rose the stock price so much. So they have options, but Regal, I'm not really sure what their situation is. Like,
yeah, it's weird.
Because I know they
they'll
get
be
the
fine.
Bump.
People love movies.
It's true.
Yeah.
Everybody loves the movies. What would we do without the movies, you know? And I'm not being sarcastic. I know it sounds like I'm being sarcastic. But I do love going to the movies, and I'm glad to see that the pretty much every major theater near us is back in business. And ready to go. We just need to get some better movies out there, man. It's been too dry lately, which is why we've all had to turn to other media to, you know, satiate us. I mean, like this this week was the Electronic Entertainment Expo, the E3 for all you gamers out there.
That's what the kids call it.
You know, and the thing is, it's funny, like. I don't bring up E3 just because as a joke to talk about video games on a movie show, but like a lot of the theme of the past like few episodes of this Lopes on Movies has been kind of the blurring of lines of media companies and acquisitions and mergers and IP, and at this point, like, now it's like every industry is all just like doing the same thing. So like at E3 this year, like one of the big standout, and I say standout from the point of view of, you know, the companies that are doing these presentations spend all of their time on this, was a Guardians of the Galaxy video game. And like the thing that's funny is that like gamers don't really care that much about like Marvel stuff. Like, they released an Avengers game and it flopped hard. And yet the media companies are still all like, oh, you know, we got to go all in on Marvel for video games too. You know, it's got to be a multimedia thing.
Of course.
So they spent like, you know, hours on this Guardians of the Galaxy game at E3 this year. So it's, you know, no matter what we do, we can't avoid Marvel. We can't get away from it. We try to hide in video games and they follow us there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, why do we want to avoid them though? That's the real question.
Yeah. Okay. But like, it's going to do badly, you would think, right? Like, no one liked the other Marvel video game they made, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, Kyle, do you remember exactly what the problems people had with that game were? I just remember it was kind of like a dull game, and maybe it had like microtransactions or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was very microtransactions heavy. Like you play like 5 minutes of the game, and then everything after that, it's like, you know, you're having fun, but if you paid a little bit extra, you could have a little bit more fun. And I think it just like really hammered that stuff home, and it just did not end well.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know much about this Guardians of the Galaxy game. I think it's developed by a different studio than the ones that made the Avengers game, but like, I got the same vibes from it because for some reason,
it looked very similar.
Right. It's just so weird to me that like, you know, whatever, Disney owns Marvel and they're trying to branch out into video games and take over every industry, and yet they won't let the video games have the likenesses of the characters from the movie. So they they have to do these like weird, not quite the actors from the movies as the characters in the game. So you get these really like Just kind of off-putting character designs.
Just some really, like, disgusting-looking people playing these characters.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that's, like, they would have to, like, pay the actors who play the characters for their likeness? So they just, like, oh, well, we own the characters, so we'll just make them look a little different, and then we don't have to pay anybody.
I'm 100% certain that's what the situation is.
I mean, it's probably not, like, in the contracts for, like, Chris Evans, all those guys to... like have their likeness in video games.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not. Or at least it wasn't at the time or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, funnily enough, like it's not like this is something that games haven't done before. Like I think I can think of two examples. One, the Spider-Man 2 video game for the PlayStation 2.
Classic example.
Not only had Tobey Maguire's likeness, but he voiced himself in the game. I guess you just can't do that anymore because the actors would demand too much money.
Yeah,
and like you know, back in the early 2000s or whatever, you know, it's like, hey, Toby, you want to also do the video game? It's like, yeah, of course, why not?
Didn't they get like everyone except for
James Franco?
James Franco is the only one that decided not to do it. They got Alfred Molina to be in this game.
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah, it was just like, really
that was such a wild, like, different time, and I remember that game being pretty good. Like, it was
a classic.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it's a great game. I think like there was like a remake of the N64 GoldenEye game, which is like a really like iconic game. It was like a remake of it on the Wii, on the Wii, and I think that it had Daniel Craig's likeness. Actually, that sounds familiar to me.
About right.
But like, yeah. Point being, like they used to do that, but now I'm just assuming these movies are too big. These actors are demanding too much money, and now we're just in kind of a weird limbo world. Where you know they're trying to have a multimedia thing going, but they can't go all the way because it just costs too much money.
Mm-hmm.
And then like gamers don't even care and they don't even want these games. You know, like everybody was really upset about this press conference spending so much time on a Guardians of the Galaxy game. You know,
it's just nobody wants.
Yeah, it's not what the people want. I don't know, but I don't know. It's so hard to figure out what the people want, which is why you should just not care and just make whatever you want. In my opinion.
When is our next Marvel thing? I don't, like, is there any hype for Marvel still? Like, do people really care for this stuff?
Of course. Connor, you really have to understand something that's insane but true, and that just, like, it blows my mind. We are on the third Marvel original television series of the year already.
What's that?
With this Loki show.
I saw commercials for that. Can people please stop and pretending like they want to watch that? With like, it's crazy to me. Like,
listen, people didn't want to watch it, but then they saw that Owen Wilson was gonna be in it, and they, you know, they were like, "Let's go."
I gotta tell you, that is brilliant to put.
It's actually
Owen Wilson.
Probably 100% true.
Yeah,
people see
that
Owen Wilson
true.
Are like, "Oh, Owen Wilson! Mm-hmm. I liked him in Wedding Crashers. I liked him in You, Me, and Dupree."
Ah, yes, those films. His two finest moments.
You think he's going to give any more like, oh, wow.
Oh, I am 100% certain. He's going to say wow.
That's got to be like episode one.
Yeah, no, because they know that him being in there is fan service all the way.
Yeah, of course.
Because the thing is like Marvel memes, like they're all the same. You know, they're all just pandering. Like it's all everybody's just the people that are making this stuff are just pandering to the widest possible audience. So of course they're gonna have Owen Wilson say, "Oh wow," like what do you mean? I'm just being very cynical here, obviously. But I will never be watching this Loki show. But this is insane to me. They did WandaVision, they did the Falcon guy, and that and now they're doing Loki.
Man,
it's not even halfway
Falcon
through the
show,
year.
That Falcon show came and went.
Yeah, right.
People would not shut up about WandaVision, but I didn't hear a single person talking about Falcon and whatever, Winter Soldier.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny, isn't it? I feel like, everybody was talking about WandaVision, but yeah, the Falcon ones, I don't know, I guess that one wasn't very good, or else we would have...
Because they decided to pair the two most uninteresting characters together, and like, hey, this should work.
Yeah, you know, they'll elevate each other, they'll make them make each other interesting. Yeah, I guess that didn't work out.
The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Who cares?
I mean, like, but that's the thing, Kyle. Like, you can say the same thing about WandaVision. Like, who cares about those characters? And like, I don't, but you know, people
cool
watch
about
it anyway.
WandaVision is that the title is both of their names mashed up.
Yeah, maybe that's why everybody watched it, because it's clever or something. I don't know.
It was gimmicky too, right? Like, wasn't it like some weird different
points in television. It was that part in Fallout 3 where you go into like a 50s like TV world.
Oh yeah, Fallout 3 did that great. Yeah,
man, this is a gamer episode.
This is way too gamer centric for my taste.
I'm so sorry, guys. It's just because I got E3 on the mind. You know, it's been a gamer kind of week. You know, but this is a movie show, so let's you know pivot and talk about TV for a second.
Oh boy.
So Connor, you mentioned at the start of this show that you binge watched almost all of the TV show Primal, which is something we actually talked about. I think, God, at this point, it's been almost 2 years, maybe even two years ago, that we talked about the first season of Primal, which, as a reminder, Primal is a Adult Swim animated series by the creator of Samurai Jack and earlier Dexter's Lab, Genndy Tartakovsky. Samurai Jack's pretty much my favorite thing that's ever been made ever, and Primal is I wouldn't say a spiritual successor, but like kind of builds on some of the ideas that Samurai Jack had done, which is really like quiet, no dialogue filmmaking that focuses almost entirely on action and like in intensity and drama and all that. And this show takes it just a crazy level where it's set in like a prehistoric time where the two main characters are like a caveman and a dinosaur that form kind of an unlikely bond. And the show is basically just them getting put into a variety of situations and having to survive. And every episode is a different situation, more or less. So, Connor, you just watched the last six episodes, I think you said. The show was released in kind of a weird way. The first five episodes of season one came out in, like, 2019. And then the next five came out in 2020. But like when those came out, it just like completely passed all of us by. I think like I didn't watch it when it was airing. I don't even remember when it was, to be honest with you. It just kind of like came and went. But just recently, all of those episodes are now on HBO Max, so it's easy to watch. You know, easily accessible. So just you know, the other day I binged the last five episodes, and whew. This show is something, isn't it, Connor?
Yeah, it is. It sure is, isn't it? Yeah, it's amazing how much story you almost forget because you're so conditioned to things nowadays where there's so much dialogue and there's so much over-explaining. And there's basically no dialogue. The dialogue is the dinosaur and the caveman, spear and fang. You know, you can figure out which one is which. Because the caveman holds a spear.
Is Fang the dinosaur?
Yeah, thanks. Yes, Kyle. Good job. they just yell at each other. and it's hilarious. Yeah. You know? And they have such like a fun friendship, too. Like, they're kind of like enemies at the beginning, and then they kind of like just end up... They're just like just this ragtag group. The show kind of... If there's like a way to compare it to like a movie that came out recently, it's kind of like Mad Max Fury Road constantly. Ooh. You know what I mean? Oh, I like where that. It's like a giant chase all the time in a lot of scenes. Like there's one episode that's very much like that. But there's so much things that are getting thrown at them, and they have to react so quickly, and they work in like tandem. And there's also they try to help like other you know people out here and there, or like people, animals out, or some people, I guess, but it's just so exciting too. Like there's the cliffhanger from the first like five is so great.
Oh yeah. Like,
and this, it goes into it. So it takes place, it's called Primal. It takes place in like a prehistoric era, but it's also got some like fantasy elements in it also, mm-hmm. which I wasn't expecting from like the first episode. But as you get like more into the series, it starts to go into that a little more, and it does it mm-hmm. in such a fantastic way. Like, magic and like weird alien kind of stuff. Oh, I don't even know what it is.
That episode of the second half was like, I was like, what is going on here, man? It's <just terrifying.
laughs> I was with it the whole time. Like, it reminded me, God, I don't even know how to describe it. It reminded me of some kind of like very much of Samurai Jack kind of style, but just all the action parts really, and every episode you can just go into and not be lost or anything. Like there is like I guess a continuation for the cliffhanger of the first of the fifth episode to the sixth episode, mm-hmm. but you still won't be lost of what's going on. And that episode that starts off the second half of the first season is so good. And this, you know, this show is not really something that's like spoilers are that big of a thing, I would say.
Yeah. It's really a show like about the action, kind of appreciating and just getting into the intensity of it.
Right. I just love that sixth episode with the way the dinosaur, so Fang is like injured, and now Spear has to kind of fend off all these kind of intruders. The episode is called Scent of Prey, where like mm-hmm. all these different scavengers are like circling around because they see that he's mm-hmm. like injured. They're waiting for to like pounce on him, and like mm-hmm. Spear is just kind of like watching out for everything to try to like mm-hmm. make sure they don't attack.
Yeah.
Every episode has such a crazy different dynamic. Joey, what would you say about like, what are some of your favorite things about this?
So just because we did talk about the first, like the start of the show when it first came out. So I'll talk a little bit about some of the newer or the more recent episodes, the recent five. I think my favorite of the most recent five was the plague episode.
The plague episode was wild.
That was crazy. The basic premise of the episode is that the giant dinosaurs, whatever like Littlefoot was in Land Before Time.
The long neck things.
Brontosaurus?
Brontosaurus, yes.
By the way, that adds to it so much, the fact that it's what you remember from Littlefoot, like those ones, the friendly ones that only eat like grass and like herbivores, you know, those ones. So they're like the friendly ones who aren't fighting. So yeah, continue.
Yeah. A Brontosaurus gets bit by I think it was a Velociraptor that was like behaving really strange and looked like disgusting and like a zombie. And that turns the Brontosaurus into a like the same thing, basically like a mad zombie monster who goes on a rampage, and eventually, of course, this, you know, he gets into the path of Spear and Fang, and they have to run away from this Brontosaurus. But like, there's not only is it like incredibly intense, but there's something just kind of like really like sad about the whole thing, mm-hmm. because you see this Brontosaurus, it's kind of life before it turned into a zombie monster, and just the path of destruction that it takes. There's so many like weird emotions going on in your head while you're watching, in addition to just the raw intensity and like insanity of the episode, that like when the episode's finished, you're sitting there in the credits just like completely like mind blown with the how raw it all is. And I think the other important thing to mention is that Primal is like by no means like a show for kids, you know, like everybody always assumes like animation is for kids, but Primal is incredibly violent and intense and ugly. Very much an animated show for adults, but not in the sense of like, you know, Rick and Morty or Family Guy, The Simpsons, like a comedy show. That's so unique in American animation because we get that so infrequently. So that's why something like Primal, I think, like I recommend it to everybody. You know,
I've never seen a more violent, like animated thing ever.
Which is kind of like crazy to me in the sense that you watched all of these like in one go. Because like it's a lot, man.
That episode I'm talking about, like that episode right before the plague one, the Scent of Prey episode, the one that right the episode six. That one is so violent. You see like explosion of like body parts and all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But it looks amazing too.
Oh like, god, it's such a beautiful show.
There's so much detail that's put into like every single aspect of the art too. So the designs of all the dinosaurs are amazing. All the animals, the creatures, and everything. When something gets like injured or like the bleeding and like all of it, it just looks so great.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's really unbelievable to me.
Yeah. So the other episode that reminded me of something else was episode 9, the Night Feeder.
Mm-hmm.
I kept thinking, because in this one, it's like a thing where you don't see the enemy like at all in the entire thing, but you see what it's doing to everything. It reminded me of like in Evil Dead where you have like the camera moves and it's going through the trees, and you almost have, you have those shots that are very similar, and you see it's just ripping through anything in its path. And then you have, in that episode, it's kind of interesting because they have to figure out a way to kind of like survive and then stop it, you know, and they eventually figure it out, like stumble away. And it's like, you know, it's very satisfying. Every episode is very satisfying too. And they all take you in these different directions. There's one in the first half, which is with the woolly mammoths. Like, how that one?
That's such a, that's another one that's just like surprisingly emotional.
Yeah.
It just sneaks up on you. Like, it's bizarre, you know? I've really never seen anything quite like this show, honestly.
No, no, I would recommend this to anyone who is an adult or not a kid.
Yeah, right.
But I'm probably 14 and over.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's probably
14-year-olds aren't adults.
Yeah, but hey, they'll appreciate the violence, I think. Yeah, you know, because everybody loves violence. Yeah, I mean, to me, this is like such a, it's such a good follow up for Genndy Tartakovsky, who like for so much of his career has been trying to push forward 2D animation in America. He's been trying to get like movies made at Sony for like forever, like original ideas that he's wanted to do, like action ideas, and like especially like 2D animation, because that's really his passion, right? But like he just is never able to get anything off the ground because the feature animation industry in America is just so locked in to the family film for, you know, at all ages, like Pixar, Disney knockoff type style movie, or like Shrek knockoffs, right? And that's all they want to make. Like there's no room for anything else in the feature animation industry. So Genndy would try, but like no projects would ever get off the ground. So it's really, really cool to see that like Adult Swim is bankrolling him and letting him, you know, kind of explore some of his ideas. And yeah, like for me, Primal is just like it's the perfect encapsulation of like Genndy's style of filmmaking, which he always describes as like what he considers the best episodes of the shows that he's done, like Samurai Jack and Primal and everything, is you take one very simple idea and do it exceptionally well. Like, for example, like in, like we just talked about Primal, we can sum up these episodes with like one sentence practically. You know, like, you know, Spear and Fang have to avoid some creature who's destroying things they can't see. That's pretty much the premise of the episode, but then they execute it in such a beautiful and artistic and intense way that it elevates just the idea from being simple to being so powerful and incredible. And that's really every episode of the show. So, I mean, in terms of recommendations, that's probably my biggest recommendation of the year, honestly. I don't think there's going to be anything that really tops Primal in the artistic, like, beauty. Just incredible.
Oh, and the music is amazing. I want to slip that one in. Music is top notch. The way it goes from like synth to like hard rock to like it goes in like all sorts of different directions.
Yeah, it's incredible. But so everybody go watch Primal. And you know, it's just do yourself a favor. You know, like check it out. It might be something new for you to see, like animation like that. But I assure you, it's one of the coolest things that's come out in just American animation and film and TV and in such a long time. So I really can't recommend it enough.
And if that's not your thing, then go watch the Friends reunion.
Well, I think that's gonna do it for us today, everybody. We'll see you next week.